The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have a jam-packed show today. Scott Harkey and the SunAngels.org, the Sun Angel Collective, the Sun Devil Collective, I should say. So what is a collective? And this has been a big part as we've been talking college sports here through the years, especially over the last year. Collectives are groups of alums like yourself or business people, may not have even gone to ASU, and they have nothing to do with the football coach. They have nothing to do with anything with the university. It's a group of people that get together and say, I'm going to put money into this for NIL, name, image, likeness for college athletes. And now Arizona State has launched their own collective this week. I think this is something that you should be knowing, learning about if you feel like the business side of sports, maybe it's a place for you and your business. Scott Harkey will be with us. Mark Rita is, first of all, Mark Rita is one of the, as is Scott, but Mark Rita is one of the absolute best people in broadcast that I've ever come across. Mark is just a good dude, and he was part of the LA Dodgers broadcast on the technical side with Vin Scully. And Mark is a Valley resident. He is head of the Rocky Mountain Emmys here in the Valley. Mark and I shot a pilot at one time that came so close to getting picked up. And Mark is someone who worked on the broadcast and led the production for Fox Sports Arizona, now Valley Sports Arizona, for a number of years too. Mark's just good people, and I wanted to have Mark on to talk about his recollections and times of travel with Vin Scully, who passed away earlier this week. And then Eliav Gabay will be with us. So Eliav has been covering the Mercury inside and out and on this Brittany Griner story on a written side. And I want to have Eliav on because earlier today, Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9 years in a Russian prison. And what does this mean for her? Walk through the steps. Is this simply Putin versus Biden now? The on-the-court product with the Mercury. Will players still want to go to Russia? Players that play in Russia for hoops, they make a lot more money overseas than they do here, believe it or not. And so I want to talk to Eliav about all that. So busy show on tap today. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. And we always appreciate their support. Yeah, I think the Brittany Griner story is what is on top of mind for me. It's what has happened here in the last couple of hours. And it's fascinating on so many levels. I'm, again, trying to play it right down the middle on this. And I'm not going to sit here and be pro-American, anti-American, anti-Brittany, pro-Brittany. The facts are this. She's in Russia. She's in an airport. She has carcinogens, vape. That's not legal. They detain her. But they've held her all this time, which seems absurd. They sentenced her to 9 years in prison for this, which seems beyond absurd. They fine her in rubles, which amounts to about $16,000, which is, okay, so this is merely more than a prisoner swap, right? That's where it should be now. And then there's the whole side of Brittany Griner, a 6'9" black female in a foreign country. And in Russia, I don't know. Basketball players overseas, do they get treated differently? She makes a lot more money over there, but she stands out. And with what is going on right now, is this simply a way for Putin to say, look, these sanctions you're putting on us for what's going on in Ukraine, well, we've got this chip for that chip. It's not right. I'm not saying it's right. It's just fascinating on how this has played out to this point. It's tragic on one hand. I can see the tragedy. This seems to me over here to be, you know, don't do it again. Over there, no, you're going to prison for 9 years. That's where she is. That's where she went to make the money. And in fairness on this one, she's over there. She's been helping Russia for years in marketing their basketball product. There's no question about that. Taurasi goes over there. Brittany goes there. A lot of the WNBA players go over there to grow the game, and they make big money. You know, the Mercury are sitting here this year meandering along without their best player in the middle. They are meandering along with a lineup that was big, and then they trade Tina Charles. All of a sudden, they get better. So I want to talk to Eliav Gabay about that later on in the show. I wish I could do a show. I wish I could do an opening, as Jared Nielsen and I refer to it, an opening A segment chairman of the board is sitting there doing his thing. I wish we could do it a segment where we're not having to do an A segment about a police blotter story. For some reason, the police blotter has become a big part of what I'm doing in sports. And it's always been there. It's just in this day and age, when someone's driving 100 plus miles per hour down the 101 at 7 a.m. in the morning because they might be late for work, as in the case of Hollywood Brown, it's still sitting on the front page of many websites because it brings clicks. People are really interested in that crap. I'd love to get into, look, how are Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins coming along in camp? How much are we going to see so-and-so play against the Bengals next week? And on through the worthless part of the sports calendar, which is August. Like, tonight's the opening preseason game. I'm sorry, even if you're a Raider fan or a Jaguar fan, if you sit there for a long period of time and watch that from start to finish, I don't know, fourth quarter NFL preseason football? Really? Those guys are all going to get cut. Maybe it's time to go on a date. Maybe it's time to buy a new book. Maybe it's time to see what's on Netflix. Like, this stuff is just the worst. If you're a gambler tonight, I guess I get it. I guess. I'm going to put money down tonight. I'm going to put a cool hundy down on the Jaguars to cover against the Raiders in preseason football. Wow. All right. You don't have a problem. That's your team, I guess. So that's on my mind today. Tommy Henry pitched yesterday. I watched some of it for the Diamondbacks. 5 innings, 4 runs, 4 earned runs. It's not really about the stat line for me. It's let's bring these young pitchers to the big leagues and let's make it happen. Let's see what they can do here over the last 2 months of the season. Anything short except ruining them, meaning they're not ready to be here at all in any way, shape, or form. And you just keep throwing them out there and they get their heads kicked in. Don't do that. Don't do that. It is sad today to report to you that Mike Hazen's wife passed away today. She's had this ongoing battle with cancer. She's in her mid-40s. They have 4 kids. This is the general manager of the Diamondbacks that is having to live through this hell. This isn't something that just happened in recent weeks or months. He's been going through this. And it's one of those stories that you just look at and you say, how do I make sense of this when we're talking about the on-the-field product? And the general manager of the team is going through something as tragic as this. How can I do that? And I got the release for the Diamondbacks I was going to read to you earlier. Age 45, complications related to glioblastoma, rare form of cancer. Nicole Hazen, her wife Mike, their 4 sons, Charlie, John, Teddy, Sam. And they put out a statement today. Derek Hall and Ken Kendrick did. The Hazen family put out a statement about Nicole. Look, I know you're frustrated with how the team has just been going through it. I can't for a minute imagine trying to balance a Major League Baseball team as a general manager. I can't do it. And go in and hey, we got to make some deals here. You know, I understand about your wife. We have to make some deals. He needs as much time as he can get. And maybe I'm just too sympathetic and you're like, no, they should have just put him on leave and put somebody else in place and just move on. I can't go there. I can't play that game. It's the human element involved. I have to tell you, in the last, what would it be, the last 24 hours, I've talked to or interviewed 3 people that are battling cancer right now. 3. And it's, I was sitting there after the 3rd one just going, man, this is heavy. And we're not even talking about it. And they're doing their thing. And yeah, I can jump on with you for a bit and I have a chemo treatment here. Yeah, I'll catch up with you after my chemo treatment. That's hard, man. It's hard. So there's that. The LIV... So Phil is suing the PGA Tour along with Bryson and 9 other golfers because of antitrust, because they want to be included in the FedEx. And we figured at some point, golfers being told you can't play over here, but you can play over here, and you're making so much money over there, but you want to take down the PGA over here, that there'd be some lawyer fees at some point. I didn't think it would happen this soon, but it is happening. you know, the business side of sports as well. Speaking of which, Scott Harkey on the other side. So Scott and others, a few others, have started the Sun Devil Collective. What exactly is that? What does it mean? The sunangels.org is the website to learn more. What is a collective and how does it impact you? I think you'll find this really interesting. Business Side of Sports next with Scott Harkey. I'm Brad Sussmat. Okay, as promised, I've been talking about this whole NIL thing for north of 16 months now, that it's coming. It's going to eventually get to high school, but for now, the focus needs to be on Arizona State. And Scott Harkey is someone that I've known from a distance, got to know him a little bit during the year. He was at the BYU game. We chatted briefly. Scott's been around ASU for a long time. He's the founder and CEO of OH Partners, huge firm here in town in the advertising space around Arizona, actually around the western part of the country. And he's one of the guys that is able to finally put this together. And he texted me earlier saying, hey, let's chop this up about the Sun Angel Collective. So now we can actually have a conversation without hypotheticals or anything involving ASU athletes to promote a business, to promote a good cause using name, image, likeness. And with that, I'm just going to toss it up to you. What is it people need to know that are hearing about this for the first time? Because I think you and I are in the weeds and there's people, there's people that are just like, what's this mean? So take it from there, Scott.
Yeah. Look, you know, also all of us sports fans, you know, whether casual or serious sports fans, or even people like you and I who are in the business, have heard about NIL. We've heard headlines like, you know, Texas A&M, you know, giving $33 million out to, you know, a freshman recruiting class. And there's a lot of crazy numbers out there. But the fact of the matter is that NIL is here and college athletes now can monetize their name and likeness. For schools like ASU, and what we feel the opportunity is, I mean, ASU is one of the largest schools, as we know, not only in you know, the U.S., but really in the world. I mean, it's huge, big student population, and they've been known for innovation. So what we wanted to do with NIL was create a collective of people and a group and a nonprofit that can help raise money in a number of different ways to help ASU, number one, compete. To help make sure people want to come and play here in all sports and do it in a way of innovation, whether that's NFTs, whether that's jersey sales, whether I don't even know what the future is going to be. It could be NFTs inside, you know, some crazy, you know, virtual reality or whatever the newest thing is. But we needed to have a serious group that was well thought out. I mean, we've been working on this for well over a year that had the right players involved and really making sure the school was aware of what we were doing. They obviously can't collaborate with us, but use every resource to our ability to maximize the revenue in this collective to make sure that ASU sports can compete with the other schools and universities because the way NIL has gone down.
Yeah, Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State, said, we need about $11 million to put together a roster. I mean, that's how specific it is on the football. And then eventually, this isn't a today conversation, but eventually this is going to get to high schools. NIL has already been ruled available in California and New Jersey and New York and others. I have parents calling me saying, can you represent me on NIL? It's like, guys, I'm not going to open a side business here.
Yeah. Well, and it's really interesting, you know, for me on taking off my NIL, you know, board member hat, my paid, you know, my non-paid, you know, nonprofit passion and put it on my, OH Partners advertising hat, you know, endorsement deals are tough and they're not as big as anybody thinks they are. So, you know, I mean, I do a ton of influencer endorsement deals, sports endorsement deals. I mean, a lot of endorsement deals and the numbers are not as big as anybody thinks they are unless you're, you know, A-list, you know, Hollywood actor or top 10 athlete in your sport. So I think there's a lot of education needed in the space. Yep. Which is a big part of our NIL too, is to make sure that athletes understand what it takes to build a brand, how we can educate them more. ASU's actually done a really good job internally too of educating these athletes on the process and to the best of their ability, they can talk about how people should be going about this. But I think that it's time for athletes now to understand the business side as well as playing the game earlier. And knowing how you can monetize what you do long term, because you only have a short playing career.
Right.
And it's not the day and age anymore where here's your Nike check, here's your Gatorade check, here's this check. You have options now. And I think the smartest athletes that build their brand the best way and think about overall kind of marketing partnerships as something that's really part of their life and something they believe in and more long term. And so NIL has a lot of growing to do. It's like when crypto first started. I mean, it's kind of all over the place. But the platform is not going away of NIL. How it gets executed and how the NCAA rules on different things, it's going to be a moving target. ASU is one of the most innovative schools in the country. We felt as just really boosters and friends of the program wanted to make sure that, you know, we're really thinking through how to make the best platform possible so we can move as different things are going to change with it.
Scott Harkey with us for a couple of minutes, founder, CEO, OH Partners, the Sun Angel Collective, the business side of sports, here for a couple of minutes, sunangels.org, sunangels.org, the number is 877-SUN-ANGEL. There's a lot out there in this space, Scott, of, well, we're going to see big cigar booster, as I like to refer to them, say, I want that kid on that high school team, and I'm going to go after him and say, we have NIL over here. There is legislation. There's not legislation. I think you're dead on right. It's very early. It's like the wild, wild west. So if someone is watching this saying, okay, I want to put some money into this, I believe in this, how much control do they have? How much authority do they have? Are we going to get to a point where someone is going to say, hey, coach, I paid this guy all this. He should or she should be playing.
I mean, that's a great question. I think we've seen certain examples in, of course, like the SEC of things that, you know, maybe don't quite look right. And I don't know the full details of it. I think for us and what really wanted us to think through this is how do we, again, we create a platform that is, it's just finding the right, you know, compliant ways to innovate someone's name and likeness, whether that's jersey sales, whether that's NFTs, whether that's brands that want to support the program and want to be part of someone's name and likeness. How do we have the back end to make sure, number one, we're compliant? So compliance issues, you know, I don't even talk about it. I can just tell you that Encore is all over it. Make sure we're 100% compliant. We don't want to mess with any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
But we do want to show potential people that are looking at ASU that we do have a platform and that we are going to be one of the more innovative platforms out there. We're going to play by the rules. You know, there's not at ASU, you know, oil tycoon or, you know, shoe money. So we have to be innovative. We have to be scrappy. We have to get a lot of people contributing a little bit because they love the program. And I think we can do that. I think we can have more NIL members than anybody in the country. And that's certainly one of our goals. But I think there's going to be, you know, this is just me personally saying, I think there's going to be a lot more things coming down from the NCAA to help prevent some things that, you know, maybe are skirting the rules or, but again, for us, NIL's here and we needed to have something that was well thought out as a way that, I mean, some of these kids, I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, the top recruit out of high school. It can be someone who's been with the program for 5 years that's been loyal to the program that, you know, should have some sponsorship money for part of their name and likeness of the school. So how do we support that kid as well as the big drivers of the team, you know, the starting quarterbacks of the team? So again, it's a very interesting space right now that we're navigating. And I'm glad we have really smart compliant people to keep us, you know, 100% in the green zone of being, you know, one of the more compliant things out there. But we are going to want to raise as much money as possible. And I think we absolutely will. We want to put great sponsors within our platform to get them as part of the kids that support the program. And we want to be one of the more innovative NIL platforms out there. And so this is everybody's opportunity, the same way, like, you know, I remember the fans own stock in the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I think of it. Like, this is a community asset, and you could be a, you know, $100,000 donor, and or you can be a $10 donor. And we're trying to make it cool for people to be donors, whether you get swag or maybe you get to meet the players at a certain time, or you get to do this or you get to do that, and create this sense of community, almost like we were like a soccer club. And so I just think there's, anytime you can have a opportunity to create even more sense of community and buy-in, I think that's really cool. So I just encourage anybody. We've already seen donations come in, like just blind off the website. They're like, oh my gosh, it works.
Yeah.
But you know, if we could get, you know, 10,000 of our fans, and we've heard them all that complain. I've been one of them. Like, what's wrong with the program? We need to do this, that, and the other. And be like, okay, well, now's your time to actually, instead of complaining, you can do something about it. And let's get, you know, a couple thousand. Let's get 10,000. You know, yearly supporters of the program, and let's see what we can do with it. And let's make sure that we're of course doing it in a compliant way, not like maybe some other schools we've heard about. But let's create something that where other players, like, man, Sun Devils are pretty cool. They've got a rabid fan base. They've got a lot of people committed to the program. And that's a place that's doing really innovative things, and they actually care about me. And it's not goofy agents and weird stuff. It's like above board. Like, I want to go there. So the person that's complaining, that's the person you should send to the website. That's our audience.
Well, and just to finish on this, again, to reemphasize, if someone came in late on this, this is not a football thing. Because
no.
football right now, there's players over there. The players themselves need the collective. And I understand the marketplace right now is not happy with where football is. Nobody is.
Nope. But
this is also the basketball, men's and women's. It is the wrestling program. It is men's, women's golf. It is volleyball. This is all sports. So if you're in this, like, they're just pushing football, no, it's not. And I think it's pretty cool. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking about it on my show. So
Thank you.
I appreciate the time, Scott. Thanks for the visit. I
always appreciate it, Brad.
All right, as promised, continuing to find voices that I see in Arizona and across the country that have Vin Scully imprinted on their lives as the legend passed away last night. Mark Rita worked in sports television production with Vin Scully. Very formative years for him and his career. And I wanted to have Mark come on board because it's a different view of the man when you hear the voice coming out than what is going on behind the scenes and the amount of time you spend together. I appreciate you coming on, Mark, first and foremost. And
well, thank you, Brad.
Yeah, the time that you first met Vin Scully, that it's like, wow.
Well, I grew up in Southern California, and so I thought I knew Vin Scully, right? You're listening to him on the radio every night. In your formative years as a baseball fan, and as and so you think you know Vin, but when you get a chance to work with him, it was amazing because he was exactly the person that you heard on the air. He was personable, intelligent, well read. Great conversationalist, very caring man. You could tell that in his broadcast. And so when you met him and he was exactly the same way, it was just a gift. It was a gift to be able to work with him.
How much baseball did you learn from Vince?
Well, I mean, from the day I started listening to baseball and listening to Vin, I learned a lot. And so I learned a few, you know, there are a few more things I learned about baseball. I'll tell you this story. So I was the graphics producer. So I was producing the graphics in lower thirds on players. And one time I put up a stat about a player, you know, second in the National League with 8 game-winning hits. And you remember that stat that they started, game-winning hits?
Yep.
So we're on the air and he says, "Don't you just hate that stat?" And I almost died. I'm sitting in my chair. I'm like, "Oh no." And afterwards he just told me, and he was right. I mean, the stat was whoever drove in the run that was one more than the opposing team. And so if you win 8-1, the guy with that drove in the second run had a game winning hit, and really wasn't, it didn't reflect what it was supposed to reflect.
Right.
But he interacted with us in the truck. He would, and this was the day he did something that I've always told, in my work, working with broadcasters, what they should do as a baseball broadcaster on television. He would, a player would come up, he'd say something about the player, but was not specific. He'd say, he's really hot. He's really a hot hitter. And he'd wait a pitch. And then if you had that graphic, which gave the numbers, then he would just say, look at the numbers, instead of reciting the numbers as soon as he had the idea. I learned how the truck and the booth was supposed to work together, mm-hmm. in supporting each other. And the most important thing was listening to him, because I learned so much about just situations and what's a good piece of information in certain situations. It was, it was the graduate school of baseball broadcasting.
When it was a game day, you would meet with him before, there'd be the usual team meeting and he would go over things. Was that the usual case or not?
Well, no. What would happen is when he would come into the booth, we would have a time where we'd show him things. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have a sit down meeting. He would be in the booth and he would always pre-record his open. And then we would show him graphics and elements. I mean, back in the day, from 1985 to 1992, these are the years that I worked with him. Yeah. You didn't have the full array of production elements that you have now. But he would go over things, and if he liked it, he'd say it. And if he didn't, if he wanted to change it, we would change it. And then it was just a situation where we would, just try to coordinate some of those things.
How much about life did you learn from him?
Well, during that time, I was really starting out in the business. I was in my 20s. I was having a lot of fun. And by the time it was over, by 92, I had been married for 6 years. I had a kid, our first child. And so it was more about how do you create that good, as they say now, work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Because when you're doing baseball, when you're doing sports, you're on the road at least half the time. And so I asked him about it because he was a wonderful family man. He was really devoted to his children and did a lot of things with them. And he was a devoted grandfather and great grandfather. He told me, and I remember this, to this very day, he said, when you're home, be home. Don't take your work with you. Don't have things that you want to do with work. Just when you're there, be present for your kids. And that, that has stayed with me my entire life.
Before I get you out of here, was there a dinner or a life on the road moment with Vin Scully that was like, Brad, I will always cherish and remember this moment?
Well, there were a lot of them, Brad, just being able to sit down with him and talk with him. I have a story. It's kind of long.
That's fine.
But I'll try to make it as short as possible.
What's all about? I got a 30-minute Zoom here. You got time.
Okay. Well, so the first year that I came into New York City with the Dodgers, and we pull up to the Grand Hyatt, and the bullpen catcher, whose name was Todd Molding, says to me, hey, do you want to go out to dinner? So we go up to our rooms. We come back down, we meet, and we're walking out, and some guy says, oh, where are you going? And we say, hey, we're going to go to Little Italy to eat. And he says, well, you don't want to take a cab. That'll cost you, so it's 85. So it'll cost you $25 or $30. I'll put you in my limo for $20. And so we're like, sounds like a good deal. So he drives us around and we're going all, you know, it's like we take forever to get to Little Italy. And he drops us off the restaurant. We go to the restaurant. We have a really nice dinner. We wander around a little bit. And now we're like, oh, no, we've got to get back. And that's like a $25, $30 cab ride. So we hail a cab. We get in the cab. Boom, boom, boom. Three minutes, maybe a little bit more. $7. And that's the cab ride. So this guy took us. You know, they saw us as rubes. So I told Vin this story the next day before our game. So this is a Friday night game. We're in New York. They're playing the Mets. This is like 1985, 86. So the Mets, you know, they're a really good team.
World Series. Yep.
And so I think we were getting beat pretty bad. So he tells our director, Mark Wolfson, he says, could you take a shot of the bullpen? And I had this feeling. And so he goes and tells that story on the air about, and he talks about it, and it's from Todd's perspective. Well, he tells the story and he says, Todd and a friend went out to dinner, and then tells the story. And he says at the end, he came to the Big Apple and he was taken. And so, you know, it's a great story. He tells it fantastically, much better than I did. So now I asked Ben after the game, I said, why didn't you mention my name? He goes, well, we have to protect our team, our broadcast team. So I didn't say your name. Well, unbeknownst to him, Todd Malding's fiance was listening to the broadcast.
Oh.
And so when he said Todd Malding and a friend went to dinner, she thought it was another woman. She calls him, she gives him a ration. And so then Todd comes back the next day and tells Ben that it's like, you got to tell him that it wasn't, you know, that it was Mark or, you know, so, but it was a Saturday and it was Saturday baseball when the networks had baseball. And so it was only a radio broadcast. So the Dodgers, forced a habit. The Dodgers got beat again. And so Todd ran to Ross Porter, who did the post game for radio, and told the story again, but included me in it. So he would clear it up with his fiance. Life on the road.
Life on the road. Your last time with Vin Scully, do you remember it?
Absolutely. I had just retired from my position at Fox Sports Arizona, and I was taking a little trip in Southern California. So one of the stops was Dodger Stadium, and I went up to the booth to talk to him, and he was gracious as always. He was always gracious. I have people who have even today reached out to me and said, thank you so much for, you know, introducing me to Vin and taking me to the booth. And he was always so gracious. So we talked, and I just wanted to make sure that I told him how much that I cared about him and how much I appreciate what he had done for me, both in my career and in my life. And so that was the last time I saw him. And it's a good time, you know, and I was able to tell him how much I cared.
That's great. That's great stuff. Mark, I appreciate your time and your insights. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
All right, let's turn our attention to the Brittany Griner story. This morning, sentenced to 9 years in a Russian prison. Eliev Gabay with us for a few minutes. He has been covering the Mercury inside and out. He's been on top of this story with Sports 360 AZ. What was your initial reaction?
Honestly, one step closer to the prisoner swap. That was the only thing on my mind. I think that is what should be on everybody's mind. Yes, the 9 years is daunting, and there's no question that is a scary number to look at. But at the end of the day, we're a step closer to what the goal has been all along, which is that prisoner swap.
Okay, so a Russian penal colony. What does that mean, Eliev? I was reading about it, and it just sounds like different levels of prison in terms of duties. Is that what you're hearing?
From what I understand, it's essentially any area of land that is for prisoners or prisoner labor, essentially.
Okay. So she could be doing labor work that could be as simple as sewing uniforms or as heavy as building houses. We simply don't know, but that's where she's being sent to today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yes.
So from here, the prison swap has been the prisoner swap has been what has been discussed. And I think we can go all the way back to February when you first started looking into this story and following the story. The prisoner swap sounds pretty straightforward. President Biden versus President Putin. Or are there more factors involved from that, from what you're hearing, what you're seeing, the people whose opinions you trust on this?
So from what I understand from the experts, at the end of the day, what was discussed several weeks ago, nearly already almost a month, was that prisoner swap with Paul Whelan plus Brittany Griner for Victor Boot. Now, what we've seen most recently is that Russia is adding or wanting to add murderer Vadim Krasikov. And besides that, that's something that I think the U.S. sees, from what I'm understanding, as kind of bashful, kind of trying to push their luck on Russia's side. And what they've tried to hold very tight on is Victor Boot for Whelan and BG.
Eliav Gebay with us for a couple of minutes. And when we have Eliav on, we talk about the Mercury and much, much more. Eliav Gebay with us as we continue on with the story on Brittany Griner. Off the focus on the courtroom and everything that's going on with Brittany, the Mercury have 5 games left in their regular season. They turn this thing upside down. And before I get to on the court with them, what about off the court with Brittany Griner sentencing today, and then get into their season and where they stand?
So in general, we've seen every single press conference, any time that they've had a chance to talk, they've said something about BG. And yes, it's been known how this has impacted the team, but on a day-to-day basis, what Brittany brought to the team more than on the court, in my opinion, from what I can see, is that glue. That glue is so important for any roster, and that kind of energy that she brings, that's real. That is real, and that is huge when it comes to these long seasons. And that's part of what they've been missing, is an energy from her, of course. And then just in general, not having their sister there with them has been awful. But I got to give them a lot of credit. It's been an impressive year, in my opinion, as far as what they've had to deal with off the court and then now on the court as well. First of all, you go into this expecting to have BG second in MVP last year, as dominant as she is, only getting better. You don't have that all of a sudden. Everybody's roles are different. Tina's role is different. Everybody's role is different coming in. And then in the middle of the season, they have to adjust again because Tina Charles moves on. And that never really worked. And we saw that at the beginning of the year. And then the small ball, I don't want to get into too much of it. I know we have more to discuss, but the small ball seems to be working.
Yeah, well, the Tina Charles story, let's just go back to that. What didn't work? And was it really she just had to get out of here for them to figure things out?
Well, watching on court, it seemed like the identity of the team wasn't clear. You know, Tina sometimes was out on the perimeter shooting threes or looking for that post position. At times it felt like they had to force her the ball in the post, you know, to order to make it work, you know, rather than just playing the ball, playing the energy, going through the guards, you know. And now, yes, it seemed that the divorce, as they've called it, has worked for both sides, where Tina is happy in Seattle. She's made the playoffs for the first time in years in her career. And then with the Mercury, you see a rising star like Sophie Cunningham, who's making a real, real run at most improved player, coming and going to the 4 spot and absolutely taking advantage of the mismatches on offense. And the energy on defense has been everywhere, and the communication has never been better, especially since the All-Star break for this team.
Eliav Gebay with us for a few minutes on the Mercury and Brittany Griner sentencing, sticking on the court. Diana Taurasi, we see her final days in the WNBA.
It's always tough to say with DT, right? Because anytime you'll ask her, she'll say, we'll see. We'll see. She's always the we'll see type of person. Mm-hmm. If you're asking my opinion, she takes incredible care of her body. We've seen that for sure. One of the first even signs of some kind of injury was this last game, where her right quad has now made her in question for their game on Thursday against Connecticut. But besides that, she has looked healthy all season. Yes, she's had that slower step, perhaps defensively. But listen, when you can put up 30 points and go off the way you do, you know, if you're asking me from what I've seen of DT, she'll always say, you know, I can still hoop. So we can see that she can still hoop. She'll still has some gas in the tank, and she's pretty competitive. So maybe she'll come back again next year. I don't know. It's going to be tough to say. Really, all off season, it's going to be a story probably.
With what's gone on with Brittany Griner, are we seeing the end of players to go to Russia to play basketball? Because Brittany Griner had been, whether people like this comment or not, it's a fact. She'd been an ambassador for the game of basketball globally. Like, going to Russia was part of her deal. And now that if you're a WNBA player, you look at what's gone on over there with her, and you can say, well, just don't bring cartridges into an airport and this won't happen to you. But do you think we're going to see the end or dialing back of USA players going overseas? Because they make far more money over there than they do here. So get into that a little bit.
So I think, you know, we actually had a story about this even way before this whole Brittany Griner wrongful detainment happened, where we had Brittany saying that these decisions are becoming harder and harder in the offseason to go and leave family and leave for the holiday seasons and birthdays and what have you. So before, it was already tough. Now we're seeing players like Neko Gumake, of course, Diana also played for ECAT, come forward. And even when you have in the trial, her ECAT organization standing up for Brittany, saying how great she is and how she's been such an incredible, as you mentioned, ambassador for the game and for America in Russia, and how many championships and all these things. And now we see that that's all fallen to the wayside when it seems to matter most, right? Mm-hmm. When these are put on a pedestal, you know, and all these things are highlighted. So if you're asking for my opinion, I definitely think we will see that. And from what we've seen from comments from players, we definitely will start seeing that taking a step back, and players who were supposed to go to Russia are also not going anymore and things mm-hmm. of that nature. So yes, I think so, Brad.
Are the Mercury going to make the playoffs? Do you look at them and say, this is a title contending team? Again, five games to go, including tonight. They play this evening against Connecticut. They're going to make it.
I think they'll make it. I think they'll make it. And I think that the X factor and Mercury fans should see that as a win for this season. I'm not sure that they're quite title contenders, because it's tough with having a short bench and playing small ball, you know, and relying so heavily on the guard play, of course, of DT and Skylar, who Skylar is having an all NBA season, no doubt about it. And an all WNBA, excuse me. Skylar is having an all WNBA season, and she is also having an all WNBA first team, all defensive season as well. So she's really done incredible things for this team. So yes, I think they make the playoffs, but I'm not sure how much further it would go past that. And I think that is a win for the X factor and for the Mercury, considering what's happened and what's gone on all season.
Eliav Gabay on things around Brittany Griner and the latest there on her sentencing, and as the Mercury get ready for their postseason run as well. Eliav, thanks.
Thanks, Brad.